Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday. Friday, April the 20th. I'm going to have to break people's hands. Friday, April the 26th, 2024. Sorry. That's an even number. Well, your mic's not on yet. Give me a second here. I'm trying to do a little intro. Anyways, go ahead. What a bad way to start an hour. Holy moly. You know, that's crosstalk. You never want good, you know, crosstalk. Because you can't understand what either person's saying. Anyway, it's April the 26th, 2024, 13 and a half minutes past the hour, last Friday in the month of April, joined in studio by Matt Morgan and Jessica Hauser's back. Jessica, good to have you back this week. How are you?
Good morning. Happy Friday.
You know, it's interesting because obviously we talk in the break and I say, how are you? But then I have to do it again.
I know.
Because how are you? Like we just
fantastic.
Yeah, just doing great. Doing great. Well, we have a whole lot of topics this week, but we were talking. Do you know the only place in town you can get an Orange Julius?
A what?
See that?
Yes,
what I said.
You know what an Orange Julius is.
I do not.
You don't?
No.
It's the greatest orange drink in the world.
Okay.
It started in California in 1926, but there's only one place in Marion you can get an authentic Orange Julius.
Let me see. Should I try to guess?
Yeah, you think about it. It took Matt a whole hour.
It did?
It did.
Should it? Well, it might take me a whole hour.
No.
Tell me.
No, you got to think about it. You got to think about it. Now, where, you got to think about what the drink is. It's a little sweeter. It's not an orange juice, but it's an orange-based drink. A little sweeter, kind of like a smoothie, I guess, is probably the closest thing you would put it toward.
Smoothie King?
No, that's a good guess, though.
Steak and Shake?
No, good guess.
What's the place down that the road that has the nerd slushes?
Sonic?
Yeah, Sonic?
Nope. This place has been here for a long time, and I think they've had Orange Julius's for a long time.
Has Sonic not been here a long time?
No, not a great long time. Maybe 15 years, something like that. Now, but by the way, what was going on there, Matt has a tendency to pick up the microphones, but he's broken two mic cables in like the last month, so we cannot pick up the microphones anymore. They have to stay in the mic stands, and he picked up the microphone. You're like Pavlov's dog. You can't be trained.
It's just habit. I've been doing it for a minute now.
He's sitting on his hands.
Yeah,
he doesn't touch it.
But he's got the RLS, and I think he's got some of those other diseases where you can't stop moving all the time.
I don't like to sit still. It's no fun.
But see, that's a disease. Well, you ought to see a pharmacist.
You got pent-up energy. No, see, I think...
I don't think that's... I think that's something people tell people that they've got pent-up energy.
I think that people who can't sit still have a heads up on, or like a leg up on everybody else, because everybody else can just sit and be like, man, this is nice. If I'm sitting still, I'm like, man, I want to do something.
Which now, is why we definitely want you in the emergency seat on an airplane.
Yeah.
Which is why I definitely
he'll be right on that door.
Well, see, I think that shows that people's minds are racing. Because have you ever seen somebody with Parkinson's? Now, when they don't talk, they stop moving. Because their mind, they're not thinking about anything. But the moment they start to think, it gets those electrons moving in their mind and they start to move. Which they can't control. Which... you might want to see a doctor.
Well on your way.
Yeah, well on your way there.
No, it's fine.
It's like people who talk over other people. You know, you clearly are no longer paying attention to what that person had to say because you're already talking before they're finished. I mean, it's. I'm not saying that a lot of people would say it's bad manners. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I always notice when people do that, they're clearly, their mind is already off somewhere else. They're no longer paying attention to what you're saying.
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I'd agree. Because they're going too fast. really what you want to be is you want to be slow and listening and methodical.
See, I think I...
So you didn't finish that thought.
I did. You just, you know, slow and methodical.
I think you think you did.
I heard what you said. I was listening.
Thank you. I always appreciate that.
So, you know, but I mean, I think that maybe everybody else should just pick up the pace.
I just zone out.
Yeah. Well, that's the complete opposite.
I'm becoming really good at not listening, but pretending like I am.
Oh, yeah.
But that gets bad, though, when people...
Okay,
but see
that's
that,
good.
Just start piecing everything together when they ask you a question.
But you can tell it. You can. People think, because nobody's going to call you out on it, but you can tell it. We had a person on here, and I don't want to say the name, but we had a person on here who did that, and everybody knew they were doing it because they had no... They tried to cover it by, you know, giving vague answers to everything, no matter what you would say to them. You'd say, so what do you think about that subject? And they hadn't paid attention to anything you were saying. So you go, yeah, I agree. And you knew they hadn't paid nothing. You knew there was nothing. Because if you went any deeper, but what do you think about this part of it? Or what do you think about what that person said?
Well, they just need to work on perfecting their, you know, their...
Yeah, you see, because
their answers.
See, because it seems to me that if they're not paying attention when you ask them, they're like, man, they gotta think up an answer. But if I wasn't paying attention, I've always looked at it more so as like I'm kind of taking bits and pieces in, and then like if you ask me a question, I'm like, man. So then I'm like, you know, thinking about it. But then what I'm really thinking about is I gotta formulate what was asked at the
very beginning. Maybe a good answer would be like, I'm still processing all that. Hang on.
You know what?
I will press that, though. I'll go, so what are you processing exactly? Because I know you're not paying attention to me anymore.
Well, I'm trying to process between the good and the bad in this situation.
So in this situation, what would be the good?
Well... You know, I think your initial opinion would probably be the best.
I don't think I gave an opinion on this one. See that? You can get them. Take it long enough and you'll get them. Just play along. But you know who I'm talking about.
I know, and
you knew it. Everybody knew it. Everybody.
Didn't.
But I don't think they ever knew that we were aware that they weren't paying attention to anything. True or false? Do you think they knew it? I don't think to this day they know that we thought that.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me if they thought that we didn't know. But at the same time, I don't know. Right? I think it was kind of obvious because we were all just like, okay.
Well, yeah, but nobody ever said to them, pay attention.
See, I'm more of like a short-term conversationalist. Like, I could pay attention, but then if you ask me a week later or 2 weeks later about that, I probably won't remember.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I understand that. I mean, 90% of the things that we talk about here, I don't remember the next day. But, yeah, but in the moment, I can stay with it. Now, I do want to finish up what we were talking about last hour because I thought that was interesting. I was talking about how... What would you say I was talking about? Let's see if you were paying attention.
we've had a whole conversation.
No, at the end, where I said, we'll finish that next hour. We're running out of time.
Man, I don't know. I was even talking about it.
I know you were.
See, you did forget. You forgot.
Well, we've had a whole conversation since then.
But you remembered the fact that I said we're going to talk about it. You said you were talking. So you do remember the idea of what we were talking about.
Yeah. But, like, we weren't talking about it anymore, so it was, like, off the
brain.
This
is funny.
See, this is what
this
happens.
This is funny.
It's short-term memory loss.
It wouldn't surprise me if I have some short-term memory loss.
It's because you're making him sit on his hands.
Yeah, exactly right. He's ready to blow over there.
Well, you know, like this morning I came in and I was,
listen.
Like, half asleep.
No. No, we were talking about, do people change personality-wise over time and not realize that they have changed personality-wise, because I had an episode of that this week.
That was the last thing we talked about last
time?
You had a personality change?
No, I didn't have one, but somebody I am around and have been around for a few years now, I noticed departures in their attitude, and I pointed that out to them, and nobody ever likes that. So I think they got a little angry about it, so I didn't talk to them for a couple days, because I thought everything I'm saying to this person, they're taking in a negative way. So when we finally did talk about it yesterday, because then it became, why aren't you talking to me? So when I pointed it, I said, you're just different. Something has changed. You don't act like you used to. Then it was, no, I still do. So I don't think they realize that they've changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Personalities can change.
But do they realize it? I don't think they do.
Right.
Which is the problem.
I mean, I had said that it's kind of like how like if you're around somebody a lot and then like they like I don't know, you know, they look different, like you can't tell, but somebody who hasn't seen them in a while will be like, man, you look so different. But like, so like, when you're around yourself every second of your life, because you kind of gotta be, right? That's how it works.
Well, that was a profound statement. You have to be around yourself every second of your life.
Yeah. Sometimes I wish I could.
How else would that work?
See, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Separate myself for a moment.
It almost sounded like there was a choice, though.
So I mean, I think that the change is so gradual that, like, by the time you are, like, you know, changed, you don't realize it because it took so long to get there. You kind of just, like, evolved to it.
Right. Oh, that's part of life. Personality changes. Yeah, things change.
But you don't realize.
Things can stay consistent, but you're always growing and learning every day.
Well, as I was explaining to this person, I said the unique part of your personality was the fact that you did things that were out of the ordinary. Because that's what's always appealing to me in a person, is somebody who does something that's different. You know, if you do the same things as everybody else, well, there's no appeal in that.
Boring.
Yeah, boring. So the things that this person did that were always out of the ordinary, where she went above and beyond to do things that other people would not do, I was always impressed by that. And there's just been a lot less of that in recent years, so... You know, I just think it's personality departure. Plus, they get a lot more offended now than they used to. You know, it's easier to offend.
Right. Oh, I know.
You know?
I understand
that.
And
it didn't used to be that way.
Right.
Yeah. So, have you ever experienced something like this?
Oh, absolutely.
So, what do you do with it?
What do I do with it?
How do you handle it? Because I handled it apparently poorly, because I just stopped talking to them for a couple of days. And then I had the apparently personality departure because I wasn't talking.
Well, why did you quit talking?
Because everything I was saying was being taken negatively.
Right.
Yeah, so I thought, I I've had enough of that.
Exit, okay.
Yeah, I won't say anything. That way...
Well, how did you feel during your 2 days of...
Oh, it was okay. Because it was better than being told that I was being mean every day.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was okay. But yesterday got better when we actually had the conversation about it.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah. But I still don't think they believe that they have any changes to their personality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think the changes to personality were an outside influence or an influence of yours?
You know, it's hard to tell because I don't think it had anything to do with me. Well, maybe, I don't know. They tried to blame it on me.
Well.
Because they said... Well, no, but that's... I've never done anything wrong.
Of course not.
Never, never in my life. No, but the person said to me that I'm harsher with them now than I had been in the past, which is not true. I'm just harsh with everybody.
So you are. You're mean.
No. No, I'm a nice, nice person.
Over here making Matt sit on his hands.
Matt, vouch for me. I'm the kindest person in the world. Listen, we've taken trips together at this point. You've seen about all there is to see.
So, I mean...
We've eaten strawberry shortcake out of mason jars together in the morning. What more is there to see at this point?
Scott bought, by the way.
I wasn't going to bring that up, but okay.
He bought us breakfast.
I'm all heart.
Tasty.
There you go.
I've been in situations where I've had to adjust my personality as well, but...
I mean, that's more like putting on a front, though.
You know, they're trying to do a personality adjustment on me, so I'm trying to adjust my personality to perfection for them, you know? And that's like a major personality departure, too, you're out of your...
The issue
you're completely out of your element.
The issue I've always thought about with that was, like, I don't know exactly the situation you're referring to, but if you were talking to somebody... who you, like, didn't know or didn't know well, and you were putting on this whole, you know, faux personality, then all of a sudden, if you guys become, you know, friends or friendly, and then you're like, man, I now have to keep up this fake personality.
Right.
Or drop the fake personality and hope that they don't, you know, cut me because they're like, what happened to this guy?
Well, see, that's what you realize, though, in the beginning. I wonder, was that just that person being phony when I met them because they wanted... Because they'll never admit to it, but some people want to be your friend. They want to be nice in the beginning, so they do things maybe they would not normally do because they want to be nice with you. They want to be nice to you. And then when that stops, really, their personality didn't change. It's just they're trying to win you over changed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was false to begin with. So maybe you just got the falseness.
I agree.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah. But they'll never admit to that either because that's also admitting something that's bad.
Right.
That you were being phony.
I don't really try to be phony in the beginning, you know, but a lot of times, you know, my realness with my, you know, niceness and stuff, it goes on, you know, it doesn't work very good after a while. So I try to adjust it to just be nice all the time, and then that doesn't work.
But see, but you don't
like
that,
do you? Mean.
But you don't want to be nice all the time.
No, I don't.
Right. So there's going to be, ultimately, there will be problems because you have to keep this thing up, you feel.
Yep. Sometimes you just have to be mean.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? I don't even know that I was being mean in these circumstances where I was being called mean. I think I was just giving an honest opinion on something, and it wasn't even critical. Like, for example, let's say you like to do things in the garden, right?
I love the garden. Yes.
Okay, so let's say you ask me, what do you think of my garden? Okay, and I'm there, and I say, you know, I just don't understand it. I don't understand it. Now, is that a negative?
No.
No. Well, this person took, that was my comment, it wasn't about a garden, but it was about something else, but they took that as a negative. I don't think that's a critical remark.
Right, and it was probably turned around into, like, you being mean or something like that, but in reality, you know, you just probably, they're probably disappointed that you don't share a similar, you know.
Right.
That's not a bonding experience for you both. You know, that's not something that you're compatible with. And probably instead of being mad, should have just landed on, that's disappointing. Wish we could have, guess I got to find a friend that, you know, likes gardening too. Not
yeah, but,
you.
But nobody will ever say that. Nobody is ever that expressive.
No, they just get mad.
But yeah, they'll never say that, you know what, I'm sorry that you don't understand that. I'm sorry, you know, whatever. It never comes out that way. Mm-hmm. It just comes out with you're trying to be rude. That it's not really that way, that you trying to be rude, but I don't think it is.
No, it's more of just that other person is just disappointed.
Yeah, they're disappointed.
They're just disappointed.
Yeah, and I think that's when you really know that somebody cares about what you think. When,
right.
Because if you don't care what somebody thinks, then you're not going to get mad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I ask somebody about something and I really don't care what their opinion is, you could say the rudest thing to me. It's not going to matter because I didn't care to begin with.
Right.
Right. So, you know, what do you think?
I don't know.
Really? Which part of that don't you know about?
Okay. So, as far... All right. So...
Were you zoning out over there? It sounds a little zoned.
I think I got about half of it.
Okay. you were too busy shaking around over there.
I mean, it was just a long, big conversation. I mean, you went from, like, gardening to talk to talk.
It's a talk show. It's one of those things.
You know, so I was just like, man, I don't even know where to, you know, join in that here.
Personality departure.
Yeah.
So this person was upset that you didn't understand something.
Right.
And then you fly back at, well, your personality is just different now.
No, not that day. Not that day. No, there was a 2-day layoff.
That sounds like a great, you know.
There was a 2-day layoff where we just did not talk a whole lot. But then the question came, well, why are you being so quiet? So then I answered the question. I don't think that's my fault. I don't think that's my problem.
I think, well, I don't know. I think a lot of the times, I don't know why people get defensive over things, but I mean, was it even like criticism?
No, it was just like I said. I don't understand this is what I said.
Well, I mean, I guess I can see why that would be upsetting to somebody who takes things in a bad way. I think, honestly, I might have to put the blame on you for that one, for the sheer fact that I think you knew this person was like this, and you still proceeded to say, I don't understand this.
Yeah, but I didn't understand it. So
you set yourself up, Scott.
We need to find a Scott Spears muzzle.
I should lie?
Or something, because he keeps getting himself in these situations.
No, no, no. So I should lie?
Well, you're the one who said you should lie, yeah.
When did I say I should lie?
See,
sometimes it's just best to not say anything.
This goes all the way back to that conversation.
Oh, I know where you're going to go with this, but that's a totally different thing, but go ahead.
No, it's not a totally different thing.
A totally different thing, but go ahead.
So long ago, Scott had, I don't remember how we got on the topic. But,
it was a topic, I think, that week.
Scott had asked, if a woman asked you, do you like something along the line, do you like my outfit or something like that? And I was like, well, I'm in a...
No, how do I look?
Yeah, how do I look?
That's how do I look?
How do I look? And I was like, well, I'm in... And he was like, do you lie? And I was like, no, I don't think you... I think if they ask for my opinion, I'm telling them the truth.
Wrong.
Yeah,
wrong.
See, and he said,
wrong.
So Scott, I think you should just lie to her at this point.
No, because I'll tell you why these two things are different.
They're not different.
Well, let me explain.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I know what I'm going to explain to you. When the woman asks you, how do I look? She's not asking you, how do I look, because she really wants your opinion. She wants you to say, you look great. That's it. And it's subjective anyway.
I blame her for asking for my opinion then.
She's not, but I think that's where you're confused. She's not asking for, it sounds like that, but that's not what she's asking for. She's not asking for your opinion.
She's asking for a compliment.
Yes, she's asking for a compliment. And it's hard to ask for a compliment.
I'm not doing
so, that's different than somebody asking me, what do you think of this? And I say, I don't understand it. That is the truth.
Maybe they were looking for a compliment.
Now let's talk to the woman in the room. When that question comes out, what is it?
Absolutely. If you just end it, if the question is, how do I look, and not more specific, like, does this green shirt go with these blue pants?
Right.
Then 100%, just tell her she looks good.
There you go.
No.
Life would be so much easier.
Yes.
Don't ask for my opinion.
You're going to spend the rest of the night arguing.
Because it's not really a question, is it?
Don't ask for my opinion if you don't want my opinion.
See? Every woman who's come in here has said the exact same thing.
Hair that's, curly or straight?
That's it.
Specifics.
It's not.
If you just want, just need a feel good. Please make me feel good. Just make her feel good.
That's what that question is.
Nope. It's entirely your fault that you asked for my opinion.
Yeah, but why do you want to tend to the bad?
You got mad.
Why would you want to tend to the bad?
Because, I mean, if they ask me if they, like, how do I look? And I'm like, man, I don't like, like we had brought up, it's all subjective. Like, you could like how you look, and that's fine. But if I don't like how you look, I'm not going to be like, man, you look amazing. I'm like, no, you look kind of goofy.
Well, look kind of goofy. That's not a terrible.
Not terrible, but that's not going to go over well if you're going somewhere where the person's trying to look good. Mm-hmm. You don't want to look goofy.
At least if you're going to be, like, that brutally honest. At least,
by the way,
at least comment on a changeable thing.
I use goofy quite a lot.
Yeah.
Goofy's just,
If it's a matter of changing out a shirt or changing the hair or whatever. But if there's a permanent feature, then you better keep your lips tied.
Yeah.
It's got to be able to be changed quickly if you're going to be naked.
Yeah, but you know what? If somebody has been to
what do you think of my haircut? You better like it.
Yeah, you better like the haircut. Nobody wants to hear negative things.
And then when it grows out, be like, I really like it longer.
You know what? Yeah. I'm just going to start saying to each their own every time I get asked that question.
Yeah, but why do you think they're asking you? Do you really believe that they want you to say bad?
Well, I think they're asking me because they think they look nice. But if I don't think they look nice, then I'm not going to tell them they look nice. It's simple as.
But see, that's a problem, I think, with you. That's more of a you thing, that you want to pop people's balloon. So that, to me, seems more coming from a place of negativity.
No. If they look
nice... Does it really matter to you how they look?
If they look... If they're fishing for a compliment that isn't given, then yes.
See, you don't like people. But that's more of an internal thing with you, because you think they're fishing for a compliment, and you don't like people fishing for a compliment.
Jess had literally said that if someone asks,
yeah, it's
how
what
do
it
I
is.
Look, they're fishing
yes,
for a compliment.
Absolutely. 100%.
So,
I agree.
How are you going to say that? I think they're fishing
for a compliment. But if you know that, why do you want to cause a problem? You know you're going to cause a problem.
Don't ask it in a question. Ask for a compliment.
You're not answering my question. If you know that's exactly what it is, fishing for a compliment, why do you feel the need to cause tension on something that minuscule?
In relationships, though, what you're going to wear, what are we wearing, is a big thing. That's that is constantly part of relationships, because when you're doing things, going to events, going to parties, going to weddings, going to, it seems to be a very common question over the weekends and stuff like that. What are we wearing? What are we doing? How do I look? Is this too fancy? Is this too casual? What are you wearing? I want us to look like, you know, similar.
Similar.
Yeah. Like what you wear and discussions about it are a big thing in relationships if you do a lot of things together, which is kind of funny that we're talking about this.
Yeah.
So I got a question for you, Jess. If you ask somebody, how do I... So say you had like a wedding to go to, right? And you ask somebody, how do I look? And you just don't look good for whatever reason. Like, they don't know. They don't like whatever. You'd rather have them say, oh, you look good, but because you're about to make yourself look like a fool in front of the whole wedding.
No, I would say like the honest answer.
Wedding's probably not the best idea, by the way, because it's white.
The older I get, though, I have learned that, you know, I won't say, how do I look, you know, unless I'm fishing for a compliment, I suppose. But like, you know, I think the older I get, I'm learning how to, do you like these earrings? Am I overdressed? Yeah, compliments like that. But I'm very secure in myself too, so I don't like try to fish very much on that.
That's but fair. See, isn't fishing that the thing on internet? Isn't that why people take the selfies on Facebook all the time and things like that? They just what are you supposed to say?
Absolutely.
What are you supposed to say? You look
those
horrible.
People need compliments.
Yeah.
You know, even worse when it's like photoshopped too, you know?
Yeah.
Even though I don't like to release images of myself that are not good. Like, I won't post.
Like, if you think it's bad, you won't post it.
I don't even like what like my friends do. Like, I totally want to see the picture before it goes up.
Now, why is that?
Because
nobody's going to say anything
bad. I'm very
bad.
Particular of, well, Matt would.
No, I wouldn't. And that's the thing. That's funny. He puts on this front would do that. I've been around him for a year now, close. And every time this question has ever come up in a real situation, I've never heard him say anything negative to anybody. You look fine.
I mean, usually people look fine. I don't know.
Well, then why die on this hill?
It's not like most people dress like, you know, poorly or anything. Just like, if you asked me how you looked and you didn't look nice or you didn't look fine, I would tell you that you didn't look fine.
Okay, but apparently you don't do that.
Because, I've never had the opportunity, I guess.
Okay, well, we'll try to make one for you.
Do it.
Yeah, but you're going to have tension for whatever reason that is not necessary.
You asked for my opinion, shouldn't have done it.
Again, not asking for your opinion. That's the difference.
Don't phrase it as a question, then.
So what do you want the person to say?
I don't know. Tell me I look good.
Okay, and then you'll do that. You'll take commands.
Matt's like, no, looks like you have a permanent wedgie.
But you gotta get those pants off. It's funny, though, because most people will tell you that they will be honest in things, but they really are not. They really aren't. Truthfully, they're not quite that honest about things because they know there's a certain point in your life where you realize that if you say certain things to certain people, you're going to tick them off, and that's going to be not good for you. And it just makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
So why do it?
Right.
Yeah. Why die on that hill? You have to learn what fights to pick.
All of the fights. You got to take all the fights.
No. No, if you fight all the fights, if you fight all the little battles, you will lose the big battles.
No, I think that's the mindset most people have, but I feel like if you take open a whole bunch of these so-called little battles, when it comes to the big battle, I've had all the experience.
Well, no, I'm talking about, like a work situation. If you are the person, if you are the squeaky wheel on every little situation that comes up, when a big situation comes up and you continue to be the squeaky wheel, you will be the one that they will say, you know, I'm just not taking time with that. He's always like that. I forget it. You lose the big battles. So you got to pick the battles you want to win.
I mean, alternatively, you could just scale it.
Well, I don't know. I think then it's not really an argument.
No, you were a squeaky wheel before. How about you just be like, you know, a broken one now?
See, I give an example. Like, if it comes down to something like a promotion, if it's all the same with everything, but one person constantly complains to you about everything, you're going to pick the person who now you're going to be working with closer who doesn't complain.
So, absolutely. I would 120% disagree with
that. Well, of course you would.
I would say that that's ideal, but at the same time, like, you know, working at, you know, the grocery store, I can guarantee you that I have heard just one lady in particular who was a department head just continuously, you know, bringing up like these so-called problems to the managers, like, you know, to the manager's attention, that are literally just like petty arguments between the people. And she's a head. She runs a department.
Well, somebody had to give her, first
of all, there's also a union involved
somebody
there.
Somebody had to give her that position.
Well, there's a union involved, and management changes every 2 years in that particular situation.
What does a union have to do with it?
Well, a union, if you get demoted, especially if it has something to do with pay, they're going to step in. Of course that person's going to go to the union, and then you know you're going to have to fight that battle.
They had to get the job to begin with. Somebody had to give her that job.
I bet you they weren't.
I guarantee you she was the same way before.
Oh, I bet not.
I was there. So is this like complaining about work? Like complaints?
Well, they must have had nobody to fill the position.
What do we mean about complaining?
Nobody wanted it. You would not pick a complainer for a position. I wouldn't pick a complainer for a position. If somebody's complaining to me all the time, well, why would I want to be around that person all the time? That'd drive me nuts.
It does.
I think that odds are...
Complaining's horrible, but it depends. You know, there's different types of complaining, too. You know, you have complaining where they just complain all the time, life isn't good. Then there can be drama. Some people love drama. You know,
right.
to create it, love to, you know. But then there can also be complaining that can be improved on as far as, okay, this person's complaining a little bit. It's coming out as complaining. However, like, there's something wrong here. There's something wrong with the business that could be improved upon. And so maybe taking that complaint and turning it into a positive, you know. So, I mean, there's different types of complaining and different things, you know. Sometimes... drama's fun to listen to because, you know, it breaks up the day. Let's just create a little bit of drama. This will be great. You know, as a business owner, sometimes I try to take complaints to a different level and turn them into something good because, you know, there's issues. But then if you just have somebody who just likes to complain all the time and they're complaining because their life is miserable anyways, then get out.
Yeah. And if you pick every battle along the way, it's not even that you're wrong on every battle, but if you pick every battle and fight every battle, when the big battles come up, the person making those decisions who has heard you complain all the time is going to be like, this is constant. It's never going to end. Why give them any position of power? It makes no sense.
Mm-hmm. Oh, maybe their complaints were improved upon. Like, well,
maybe
this person has really good perspectives.
Well, see, that is different. Constructive criticism is different. But if you're just picking the fight to pick the fight,
mm-hmm.
that's silly.
Drama.
And then you are dramatic. Because now you're just picking the fight to cause drama. So why do that?
Some people like drama.
Some people like drama.
Including executives and bosses.
They do.
They even like more drama sometimes.
But you know, it's if they're friends with the person. Now, see, if they don't like the person to begin with, if they don't like their personality, then they don't so much like that because then they've got to hear their drama and they don't like them anyway. But if it's their friend or they're close with them, well, they're a little more apt to take their drama.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's how bias works.
Yeah, but that's what there is with all people. But, you know, some people do think they know it all as well, which that's an interesting personality trait. When somebody thinks they know everything and you can't tell them anything, it's hard to work with somebody like that because when they're doing something wrong, they don't think they're doing something wrong.
Like what?
I mean, there's just a lot of people like that. When you clearly see somebody's making a wrong choice or doing the wrong thing, but they have such a headstrong attitude about, I am right all the time and I can't be told that I'm wrong and I'm not going to take opinions, then you know you can't change it. So you're just going to say, well, I'll leave that person over there and I'll deal with this person who I know will take constructive criticism if they're doing it wrong.
I mean... yeah, I mean, I think you're going to want somebody who's going to learn from their mistakes.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody comes to me for an opinion a lot in a certain aspect of life, I'm more apt to go to them because I know they're open to opinions. I know that they want to learn. I know that they... But if you come to me arguing all the time, well, what is that? I mean, I don't need that.
I think entertaining is vice versa. I think arguing is entertaining.
Yeah.
Well, some people just absolutely hate arguments. How do you feel about them?
Arguments?
Yeah.
Just for the sake
of having them.
No. No. No.
As entertainment purpose.
Well, you see, I don't think that the other person likes it. You see, I will be like, you know, I'm bored. And then I'll just start, like, poking at people, essentially. Mm-hmm. And then it turns into an argument. And at that point, I'm like, this is good.
Now, I like my...
So the other person, I don't think the other person likes it. This is very, you know, one-sided entertainment.
I'm like, love being in a little peaceful zone and not, you know, not judged and being in a consistent state, like, you know, arguing, you know, maybe definitely not in a relationship or anything, like, I'm over that.
But what if it happens?
Happiness and content and consistency is so much better for me,
you know,
like, I'm way more productive if I start getting an argument and I'm just like, you know, which it does happen with, like, people that help me sometimes at work. You know, we'll get into arguments, but I do understand it's more like passion for their job and their disagreements, just because, you know, they think this can be done better. I think it should go this way. At least an argument, but it's an argument that I always win because I'm the boss.
You make the final call.
Yes. Arguments that I can't win, I just prefer, go for it, you know. Whatever you think.
Yeah. So. Well, now, do you forgive if somebody is arguing with you and may say something nasty?
Yeah, it's funny you said that, because I've really tried to, every, you know, couple years or so, I do try to figure out different self-improvement things. And I do feel like I'm at the point in my life where, you know, I needed to work on forgiveness and not holding grudges. So I've been working on this for the past year, and it's way better. It's way better of a lifestyle to just forgive and move on.
See, but I think that's tricky, because I'm all for forgiveness. I think forgiveness is a good thing. But I think when you forget, that you become vulnerable and susceptible to it happening again. Especially if it's a continual person in your life. It sounds great to forgive everything. I forgive everything. Oh, that's nice. That'll make life a lot easier. But the next time they do the same thing, which will happen because people don't change, okay, you just want to put up with that forever.
Then don't.
Yeah, but you know what? People like familiarity.
For example, like, so you forgive somebody for being late.
Yeah.
Right? But they're just always late.
Right.
Well, and you don't like them being late.
And you don't like them being late.
And they're not changing being late.
Right.
Get out of it.
Right. Get out of it.
Apparently, you don't.
But
apparently
what,
it doesn't work.
But where are we on the... See, that's a pretty minor thing to forgive, though, I think. Where are we on the forgiveness scale? What do we forgive and what don't we forgive?
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be a line somewhere.
Yeah, I suppose.
You know, I was, and this is an odd thing, but I was talking to somebody who, first of all, don't post things on social media if you don't want people to know, because this is where this story came from. I certainly was not close with this person at all, but they posted up there that their husband had cheated on them. Plain as that. I mean, that's what happened. And so I was talking to that person and, you know, saying how bad I felt for them, because they were clearly upset by this. They ended up staying with the husband, so they forgave it. Now, then I come off a little harsh because I was siding with the person, and I still feel that you should not cheat. This is a bad thing. This is a line you should draw somewhere in the sand. But they forgave it out of familiarity, because that is the only way you could ever forgive somebody cheating on you. I think in a marriage would be you must just be – you can't say that you still – like that person or trust that person once they do that. You can't. I mean, I don't know how you could get to that point.
I mean, usually if you ask somebody who went back to a person like that, they'll be like, he changed. Or, you know,
oh,
he changed.
They all do, don't they? They all do. That's sad. I mean, that people believe that. And they don't want, it's hard to change. It's hard to get out. Because now who are you going to go to this thing with? Who are you going to go to the concert with? Who are you going to see on the weekend?
Why do you gotta go to places with people?
Because people are lonely. That's why they're in these things. They wouldn't be in these things if they didn't have a there's something lacking in their life. No matter how full your life is, if you've got to be in a thing, something's lacking.
I would say so.
Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
And if you forgive what you might think is the unforgivable, here's what I always say to people. If you got angry about it enough to cause a schism in the relationship to where you either kicked them out or weren't with them for a time, if something made you that angry, basically you went back. If you boomeranged back, the only reason you boomeranged back is because you didn't want to start over with somebody else and you didn't want to be alone. There's no reason to go back. You can't say forgiveness, because if you were that forgiving, you would have forgave it when it happened. You just got lonely. You got a few weeks passed and you thought, well, darn.
Yeah.
You know, I shouldn't have got so angry about that. That wasn't, it's sad, but I mean, that's the society we live in. Everybody wants to be loved. That should be the t-shirt that Americans wear.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you feel differently.
I mean, I don't know. I think that people, I mean, as far as you said, I mean, you know, the whole people want to be loved thing. I mean, I think that everybody, you know, wants to be liked. I think that just, you know, some people make it like a goal of theirs to make sure that people like them.
But now, let's say, you know, you've had limited, two relationships in your life. Okay, let's say something happened in one of those relationships that caused you to say, nope. Cannot be around this person anymore. They did this. I don't forget. I won't be over. That's over. Then a month passes. Are you ever going to say, well, you know, eh?
Well, you do have a tendency to remember good things
after the month.
After time.
Yes.
After time, you will forget about bad things.
It's like
and
death.
Remember the good.
It's like death.
It is like death. If you ever notice when somebody dies, that's trauma for a lot of people. And in that moment, they're very upset. But as time goes on, you remember the good things. It's not, you don't remember the death.
Yeah, I think it's human nature. Could you imagine, you know, and great that it is. Great that it works that way, I think, because if you remember all the bad things, it's just not going to be a very good life, I suppose.
No, see, but I think here's the difference in my feeling on that, especially with somebody who, relationship-wise, whatever, marriage-wise. I'm okay to have good thoughts of them and good memories of them. I just don't think you should be with them anymore because of the trauma.
Right.
That's the difference. You can forget the trauma. You can put the trauma to the, and it becomes less painful and you forget about it. That's fine. I'm all for that. But to go back to them, oh, I think you're just setting yourself up for some more trauma.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I mean, yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
But people do it every day, all the time. This girl went, the man cheated on her. And she knows it. She walked in on it, I think, a matter of fact. You know, I don't know how you forget that.
There was probably things that led up to that situation that...
I'm sure there was.
Though. She's probably trying to throw him under the bus, but, you know, they might not have been... Coin. Yeah, they might not have...
Coming from one of our listeners here, Mary out there, I kissed a lot of frogs before I found my handsome prince. So there Aww. You go. Which, yeah, but see, but the prince, I don't think, probably has done anything awful to cause that's what I'm talking about. Once they do something awful, how people forgive stuff like that's beyond me. I'm not going to judge them, but
it's hard though too. You know, forgiveness is really hard. It becomes a lot easier though when you are like so, you know, when you love somebody so much.
Now see, you know? Here we go again. What's love?
Well, I'm just saying, you know...
We have a whole topic about this week that I am going to make sure we get to next hour because I think it's fascinating.
Yeah, but when you really care about somebody and you want them to be, you know, in your life at whatever capacity, you know, it's a lot easier to forgive. I can't say, like, in a situation like that, though, like, if it was just hands down, he cheated on me, I, you know, had no idea this was going on, or how could he just, you know, so quickly, you know, move on to another woman, and then they get back together. But the life that she probably has now is so edgy. Like, it's probably on the back of her mind all the time.
Yes,
like,
yes.
There's always just going to be another woman, you know? Because I love him, so, but what a life change. Like,
but
what
how,
a game changer,
but see,
you
that's
know?
How can you love somebody who sets you up like that, creates an insecurity in you?
I know. Yeah, that they would actually do that.
Yeah, what is loving
you're
about
so
that?
You're so replaceable, you know? Well, and their marriage and stuff, it could end up, working better trying to be together and working it out, because there's so many things, a house and children and, all these things that, to keep a marriage together, too. A lot of marriages operate on, we're just going to stay married. However, there's affairs all the time, but it's more of could become more of a business affair.
Well, you know what's funny? The moral of this story, this is years ago, this is more than a decade ago, I was doing a radio show with a lady who I did many radio shows with, and, I guess you never really know for sure, but it was pretty common knowledge that her husband had extracurricular activities throughout their marriage, and it had almost become a thing. They'd been married for so long that as they got older, she just knew he did this. They were married. She did her thing. I never saw him at a party with her. I never saw it, but they just lived.
There's a lot of relationships like that.
Right. So one day we're doing a show like this, very similar to this. And not thinking about this, I do a subject. I think it was Arnold Schwarzenegger. Do you remember when Arnold Schwarzenegger was governor of California and it was found out that he had an affair with his maid? It was a big kerfluffle in those days about that. So we're doing that story about, do you stay with somebody who has an affair? Because his wife had not left him yet. And I go to this person, and they fully understood why you would stay. Because clearly in their life, they had stayed and understood it. And I had the discussion, how could you? That's a big deal breaker. Not thinking that it never occurred to me until the show was over that clearly they had been through this. And this is why they are having this opinion. Because this person normally on something like that would have been all in on leave the person. I'm not putting up with that. But because in their own life they had went through it, it would seem hypocritical if they did not understand it.
Yeah.
So I think it hurt them long term, and I don't think she ever forgave her husband. She might have stayed, but I think it was just out of, we have kids and.
Yeah. What a horrible way to live.
Yeah, it's sad. Sad.
Live out your life.
You would think that at some point, you would come to a conclusion that, like, yes, I love this person, and yes, it sucks to be not around this person apparently, but. It sucks a lot more to go back to this person.
For sure.
And it would do me good in the long run to not be with this person.
But see, that again, what's forgivable and what's not. We're talking about huge things here about affairs, and we're talking about minor things like you're late. But there's a whole gray area in there. What is forgivable, what's not? I don't know. I think name calling. People who argue, people who call people names, I had to have a conversation recently with somebody. I said, you don't call. Because I heard somebody call a woman, a female, a name. I said, you don't do that. Just walk away. Walk away. Not that women should be calling men names either, but just don't do that. I mean, that is bad. Words are things to me. I think words hurt people. And I don't think you should be calling them names in a serious mode. You're just going to cause friction down the road. assault is words. Battery is physical.
I don't know. I think... I don't know. I don't know why you're letting words get to you. I mean,
you say that, but words get to everybody. Me? That's how you get to the. Why would you ever get to the battery if the words didn't bother you? An argument is words.
I don't think that you. I think you're more so upset about the subject than the word. You see,
Oh, I don't know about that. Like, if somebody said your mother is just words, forget it. No.
You mean that thing that middle schoolers do?
No, I'm talking about serious life. Your mom's a fill in the blank. Just out of the blue. People are not going to like that, but it's just words. Just write it off.
Yeah.
No, people don't. Or your wife. Talk about your wife. Your wife's a such and such. People aren't going to write that off.
Nope.
Just words, though.
I mean, I guess to an extent that's a
little... I told somebody yesterday to learn how to tell time. They got bent out of shape about that. Just words.
Look, I don't know. Me and my friends just, you know, we
but friends, see, that's different. I'm talking about somebody you don't know coming in and saying this, or somebody you're not a friend with.
Why are we arguing with strangers?
No, coworkers.
No kidding.
Well, no, a coworker who comes up and says, you know what, your mother is a...
I bully coworkers, too.
Well, see, then you do feel the need to come back at words.
No, it's not so much, I mean...
I'd like to let you finish this thought, but we're out of time. We're going to come back... Just words. It's just words. We'll be right back after this short but important break.
And that person walks into the room where you are, that you have a kind of a fluttering in your heart, that person that you really like,